And then we'll talk a little bit about the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm going to ask somebody if they know what the verse is for this week. You know, when I was a boy, when conference came around, I didn't have to learn the verse. And I think that's what happens often, that boys and girls, they don't learn the verse. But you know, the verse that we have today is a very interesting verse, and it's a very important verse. And so I just want to know if there may be somebody who does know the verse. But anyway, we'll start singing a few songs together. And the children's hymns are in the back. If you want to pick one from the back, you can do that. Which one do you have? 46? Number 46. Glad G I N G S I B R I N G. Glad J-S-U-S has come to save me. And he calls, and he calls all the G-I-R-L-S. And he wants all the B-O-I-S too. T-R-U-S-T. And have all their sins now washed away. 20.
Number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Did he so love me, a poor little boy? Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story is before and on. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever. Number what? I don't know which. Which one? Number six. Six. All right. Why don't we sing number six? Number six.
God in mercy sent his son to a world. my sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, was for sinners Jesus died. All the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. Sin and death no more shall reign. Jesus died and lives again. In the glory high and high, see in God's supreme delight, all the glory of the grace shining in the
Did you boys and girls know that God had a problem? God has a problem, or had a problem, that he had to solve. You know, God has what we call attributes. That means there are characters, or there's some things about God that tell us about him. And one man, he said, of all the attributes that God had, one of them stood out above every other one to his mind, and that is that God is holy. God is holy. You know, that is solemn, because, boys and girls, we are unholy. You know, another thing about God is that God is love. We read that. God is love. Now, how can a God who is holy, take up boys and girls and men and women who are sinners. You know, someone has said that one sin is more awful to God than all the sins that we ever do. I remember when I was a boy about 8 years old, and I had a friend, and we used to go home from school, and we would stop at the empty lot going on the way home from school, and there was a pathway there, and this boy and I, we played pirate. And all the other kids that were smaller than us, we made them open their lunch boxes and give us what they had left over in their lunch boxes. You know, you laugh, you older ones. But you know, that's sin. And God can't tolerate sin in His presence. How many sins do we have to do before we're sinners in God's sight? How many? One sin shut Adam and Eve out of the garden. Oh, God does have a problem. He loves us in spite of our sins. You know, the more we look at ourselves and we see what we are, it gets harder to believe that God loves us. Until we look at the cross, and at the cross of Calvary, we can see that God has loved us. You know, that verse, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." Why doesn't it say, "For God so loves the world"? I believe it's because He wants us to look back at Calvary, at the cross where He provided a way that boys and girls and men and women can be brought back to Himself. Let's sing another one. Which one? You know, number 64? We don't go up that high. Let's look at number 45 together. Sing number 45 together.
To let all I to love, to let all live in His word, to let all be to walk His way, to have to work for Him all my day. One let all talk to speak His truth.
We're going to also look at a scripture that shows us that we don't naturally obey the Lord. We don't always want to walk in the way that God wants us to walk. And we sometimes are disobedient. And sometimes that disobedience doesn't come out, but it's in our hearts. Can you remember, boys and girls, when your mama told you to learn the verse and you said inside yourself, "Why do I always have to learn the verse?" That ever happen? I'm afraid so. It did in my heart. But I'm thankful that I did learn the verses, And I'm thankful that God loved me in spite of what I am. And God has loved each one of us in spite of what we are. Maybe we have time for one more. Okay. Number three. Well, that's a lovely hymn. My hope on nothing
rests in hell.
You know, there's a little story about this. There was a great racetrack in Ireland, and it was called the Shamrock Racetrack. And there was a preacher standing by that racetrack, and he was preaching the gospel. And one of the people who went there, he said to him, "What do you think of this great racetrack here? How great it is." And the preacher says, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other rocks are sham rocks." Boys and girls, there's only one Savior. There's only one to whom we can look, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came down from heaven. Shall we pray together? Our great boys and girls, I'm going to get my Bible. And I would like to ask if anybody knows what the verse is this morning. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? But I know what the verse is, and I'm going to read it to you. And it's a very solemn verse, and yet it's a precious verse because it's a verse that sets us dependent on God Himself. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says here, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, this verse shuts us up to God Himself as our Savior. There's not one boy or girl here that can say that they're not sinners. And as one has said, "My sins are my title to the Savior. If I wasn't a sinner, I wouldn't need a Savior. And if I wasn't lost and ruined before God, I would be able to save myself, to fix myself up and patch myself up before God." You know, there was a man one time, he had found a tiger cub. You know what a tiger cub is? Can anybody tell me what a tiger cub is? What is a tiger cub? Huh? No, no, I mean, you don't know what a tiger cub is? What?
A baby tiger.
A baby tiger, that's right. And you know that tiger cub, it was so cute. It just played, and he fed it milk, and the tiger cub grew, and you know, pretty soon he could walk around with it and played with it, and he fed it cottage cheese, and it grew, and it got bigger and bigger. But one day he was out in the garden, and you know what happened? He had worked with some roses and cut the roses. And what happens when you cut roses sometimes? What? You get scratched up. That's right. And so he started to play with his cub, and this cub, it was bigger then. And you know what it did? It licked him. And all at once, that cub, that tiger, he looked at him, and he started to growl. You know why? Because it's a tiger's nature to want to bite and to catch a prey and eat it. And when it tasted blood, it jumped on the man. And you know, the man, happily, he was able to get out of the situation, but he could never trust that tiger again. He had to bring that tiger to a zoo and keep him locked up because he was dangerous. Boys and girls, you know, we may not know all that's in our hearts, but God has told us what we are as boys and girls and older ones. We find out, the older we get, the more we realize what we are. But oh, you know, that would be a very sad story if that was the end of it. You know, I'd like to have you look with me, John chapter 3. We'll just read a few verses. Verse 13, it says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." You know, boys and girls, we cannot get up to heaven. In Mohammedanism, Mohammed was a man, and he died. And Buddhism, he was a man, and he died. But you know, here we read these words, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, Oh, why did the Lord Jesus come down from heaven? Did we call for him to come down from heaven to be our Savior? No. No. We didn't call him to come down from heaven. But he came down from heaven. He was the one who was sent from God to come down to where we were. Oh, how low did he come? You know, we sang a little bit about the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, where did that glory shine? In one way, I'm thinking of how that glory shone. You know, when they took the Lord Jesus and they spit on his face and plucked the hairs from his face, the glory shone from his face. When they hung him up on the cross, there was one thief that saw the glory of God shining in the face of the Lord Jesus. He saw that God had sent his Son, and whatever man did to him, it didn't turn the Lord Jesus back. It didn't turn him back from going to the cross for you and for me. All by nature, we hated the Lord Jesus. That's the tiger nature that we have in us, boys and girls. You know, it doesn't display itself at first in little children, that they know it. Do its own thing. Isaiah says we have all turned to our own way. How solemn that is, not to God's way. So the Lord Jesus, it says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What was necessary that God could solve his problem, his holiness, and our sinfulness? Oh, the next verse tells us what was necessary. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's turn to Numbers 21. Verse 5, we read, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of the wilderness to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Oh, boys and girls, they were learning what they were made out of. Do you know, boys and girls, there's something else that God is teaching, that there's death in the scene. For we read in the Word of God, the wages of sin is death. Death, the wages of sin. You know, we sometimes hear of little boys and little girls who die, and we wonder at it in a way. We read of older ones who die. There was a man once who went through to the graveyard, and he walked through the graveyard, and he took a string and he measured the length of the tombs. You know, he found out that boys and girls, little ones die, and older ones die. We read in the Word of God, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
How much do you pay for a gift? How much do you pay for a gift? Nothing. Nothing. There was a man once who walked through the woods and he came to a place where there was a spring and the waters were coming out of the rock, and you know, he was going to get some water. And then there was a thing there that said, the water's free, but you have to pay for a cup to drink. Now, was that really free? No, it wasn't. But you know, God has made His salvation free to us. How much did it cost Him? It cost Him His life. It cost Him His life. Well, I'm going to read a little bit here. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Did he take away the snakes, Willie? No, he didn't take away the serpents. Death is still in this scene, but boys and girls, He's made a way for us to escape the penalty of our sins. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Oh, you know, somebody has made this remark. It isn't looking at Jesus that saves us, but it's a look to Him that saves us. Oh, it's a look to the one whom God has given for us. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that bears this out. Let's just look at that. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll read from verse 19. It says, to wit, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Boys and girls, there is a time now in which God will not reckon sins to you. He's waiting, or he's as it were saying, beseeching you to be reconciled to God. You know, there was one time a king in Germany who had a rebellion going, and his subjects hated him, and they were going to do their own thing and not work for him anymore. And he said, I'm going to wait a little while. He said, I'm going to put a candle in a window, and all of my subjects who will lay down their arms and come back, they can be reconciled to me. So he burned that candle in that window for many days. But you know, there was a time when he put the candle out, and it was too late to come back to Him. Boys and girls, you know that's the way God is doing. God in His mercy is holding out that He will save you, that He will bless you, if you will come to Him just as you are, a sinner with all your sins. Oh, you can come with all your sins to the Lord Jesus and he will take you in. But you know, there's coming a time when it'll be too late to come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, come now. Come now. You know, we read in God's Word, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, why? Was it, boys and girls, because we could make a way to heaven? No, it's because God has sent His Son and made Him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, He didn't consult with you or me to see whether we liked His way or not. But of His own heart of love, we read, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Boys and girls, I'm thinking of another verse in 1 John 4. Maybe you could read it for me. Would you like to read it? You stand up and you can talk right in there and you read that for me. 1 John 4:14.
And we have seen and do
testify.
To testify that the Savior sent
the Father.
The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Okay. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Oh, what was it that caused God to send His Son? Why did He send the Son? There are many different things we could say. Why? So that we could be with Him in glory. That's right. What other reason? So that we wouldn't have any more sins. That's right. Another reason? So we wouldn't have to suffer in the world? Well, we do sometimes suffer in the world. Why? What's another reason? Because He loved us. That's right. Oh, thank God. He loved us. He loved us. And He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Well, let's look back again in our text, John 3, we read that it was necessary that God send His Son. And we read that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we read another word, for. And that word for tells us that God loved us. Because God loved us, He did that. He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we have that word again, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want to just turn back again to those thoughts that whosoever believeth in him, you know, it reminds me of that night in Exodus chapter 12. That the children of Israel were to take a lamb. And it says here in verse 3 of Exodus 12, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. And then in verse 4 it says, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Then in verse 5 it says, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And verse 7 it says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You know, God has given the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Have we taken him? Have we taken him? Have we come to God taking the Lord Jesus? God has given. Have we taken him? Boys and girls, there's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who has given him. And it's our privilege to put our trust in him. Now I'd like to read just one little bit more. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, there was a lady one time who attended some gospel meeting. She was a young lady, and she was a beautiful girl, but there was something wrong with her. She looked pale. She looked just like she was going to die in a little while. She had tuberculosis. And in those days, there was no cure for tuberculosis. You know, she'd been raised in a Christian home. She'd heard about the Savior. But you know, she threw it all off. She went her own way. She wondered if she could be saved. You know, the preacher, he took that verse, John 3:18, and he brought it before her. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Oh, boys and girls, God will not condemn the boy or girl who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're free to put your trust in him. God has set him forth as a Savior. He set Christ forth to all who would have him. Will you have him? Or will you say, give me just a little longer? For this world is now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. All boys and girls, the Lord Jesus welcomes you to himself. And I'd just like to quote a couple more verses. John 6, 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's a reason for it. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, you know, this young lady, she died. But you know, the Lord will raise her up again. And I'll see her. And I'll be there too. Well, boys and girls, I could no way fit myself for God. But God has given Christ to fit me for himself. Shall we thank him?